Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited Q3 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Saraf, Manager, Investor Relations at Advanced Enzyme Technologies. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Saraf.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Advanced Enzyme Technologies Q3 and nine-month FY25 earnings conference call. We sincerely hope you all have gone through our financials and press release and the PPT, which has been posted in the Investor Relations section of our website. We have with us Mr. Vasant Rathi, Chairman and Non-Executive Director, Mr. Mukund Kabra, Whole-Time Director, Mr. Beni Prasad Rauka, Group CFO, and Ms. Rasika Rathi, Non-Executive Director, Advanced Enzymes, and VP SEB USA. Today, the management will discuss the performance and business highlights, updates on strategies, and respond to any questions that you may have. As is usual, for ease of discussion, we will look at the consolidated financials. Before we proceed, I would like to draw your attention to the forward-looking statement contained in the PPT. During our call, we may make forward-looking statements regarding our expectations or predictions about the future. Because these statements are based on current assumptions and factors that may involve risk and uncertainty, our actual performance and result may differ materially from our forward-looking statements. With this, I would like to hand over this call to Mr. Vasant Rathi. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ronak. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of the entire Advanced Enzyme family, I would like to wish you all a very happy New Year, even though we are in February now. I truly appreciate you taking the time to join us, and I warmly welcome you to the conference call for the third quarter and the first nine months ended 31st December 2024. Let me start a quick review on the global economic scenario. The global economy exhibits a mix and resilience with a lot of challenges. The IMF reports that global inflation has declined, indicating progress in combating high inflation. However, growth remains sluggish compared to pre-pandemic levels. Moreover, as you know, there are U.S. elections, and President Trump is elected, and that is a complete uncertainty what is going to go, what is going to happen in the future. Even though there are a lot of taxes levied, we will know pretty soon what else can unfold. Regional disparities are evident. For instance, the United States is expected to experience a short-term economic boost, while Europe and China face significant economic headwinds. Additionally, geopolitical tensions and potential trade war risks continue to pose challenges to economic stability. Overall, while there are positive signs, the global economy is navigating a complex landscape with both opportunities and risks. With this, I conclude my remarks and now hand over the call to Mr. Mukund Kabra, and he will talk to you about the performance of the company.
Thank you, V.L. sir. Good evening, everyone. I will quickly take you through the commentary of this quarter. Our operating performance in quarter three has steadily enhanced, showing growth and sustainability in our financial stability. We achieved a top line of rupees 1,691 million, growth of 5% on a year-on-year basis and 16% on a sequential basis in quarter three. Our EBITDA stood at rupees 553 million, grew by 3% on a year-on-year basis and 30% on sequential basis. EBITDA margin stood at 33% and PAT margin stood at 23% during the quarter three. In the last quarter, we couldn't realize somewhere around 8 crore of the sale because of the sales reversal. So in this quarter, we saw an incremental revenue recognition of around rupees 80 million, which was delayed in quarter two financial year 25. This resulted in higher sales in the current quarter of about rupees 80 million. Accordingly, the revenue for this quarter three financial year 25, after giving this effect, would have been at rupees 1,610 million, and for quarter two financial year 25 would have been rupees 1,540 million, a growth of 70 million on quarter basis, about 5% instead of 16%, and the gross margin remained at 77% in the quarter three financial year 25, equivalent to quarter two financial year 25. Talking about the human nutrition, the human nutrition contributed around 60% in this quarter. On year-to-date basis, the revenue is around 60%. HN constituted about 68% of the revenue in 9 months of financial year 24, and for current financial year 9 months, it is 64%. Animal nutrition. Our animal nutrition business contributed 12% to the revenue in quarter three. This segment grew by 22% on year-on-year basis and 9% on sequential basis. Year-to-date, financial year 25, AHN witnessed an increase of 12% and constitute about 12% of the revenue as compared to 11% in year-to-date financial year 24. Bioprocess. Our bioprocess business contributed 19% to the revenue in quarter 3. This segment outperformed during the quarter by around 36% on year-on-year basis and 91% on sequential basis. The food business grew by 39% on year-on-year basis and 130% on sequential basis. While non-food business reported growth of 25% on year-on-year basis and 4% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Year-to-date performance of food business remained flat at rupees 580 million, constituting about 12% of the total revenue. Year-to-date non-food business grew by 28% from rupees 125 million to rupees 160 million. This constitutes 4% of total revenue as compared to 3%. The specialized manufacturing business contributed 9% and grew by 49% on year-to-year basis and 28% on sequential basis and 27% of year-to-date and constituted about 8% of our total revenue as compared to 7% during the 9 months of financial year 24. Key events during this quarter, as we mentioned in our last earning call about significant challenges for our customers, is the lack of familiarity with enzyme and probiotic application and testing. To facilitate this, the company has established a separate independent laboratory named Staria Labs under its US subsidiary. This lab will focus on testing enzyme and probiotic products. We acknowledge that R&D is crucial for sustained long-term growth. We also maintain product portfolio specific strategies that focus on complexities of the geographical market fit. We are proactively seeking new opportunities and advancing the development of new products and molecules within our biocatalyst and bioprocessing portfolio. These innovations are anticipated to contribute to future revenue growth. We are optimistic about the upcoming years, anticipating growth and success. With a strong pipeline of innovative products, we are confident even our ability to achieve our strategic goals. Our commitment to delivering exceptional value positions us well to capitalize on new opportunities and navigate any challenges. We look forward to building on our momentum and driving great year ahead. With this, I conclude my remarks and now hand over the call to Mr. Rauka. He will walk you through the financial and key subsidiary numbers. Thank you. Over to you, Rauka.
Thank you very much, Mukund. Good evening, everyone. I hope you all are in good health. On the company's consolidated financials for the third quarter and 9 months of fiscal year 2025, Q on Q basis, the revenue is grew by 230 million, 16% of growth. EBITDA is increased by 128 million, which is 30% of our total revenue. PBT is increased by 108 million, about 26% of growth, from 422 million to 530 million. PAT is increased by rupees 55 million, 16% of growth, from 334 million to rupees 389 million. On YTD basis, our revenue is increased by 36 million, 1% of increase, from 4661 million to 4697 million. EBITDA is increased by 3 million and profit before tax is slightly down. PAT is increased by 1 million. So it is about 1072 million as compared to 1071 million. It's about 23% of our revenue. I would like to give some numbers of our subsidiary companies. Desi Biotech stood at 172 million of revenue and EBITDA of 22 million, PAT of 7 million as compared to 176 million and 33 million and 14 million respectively in quarter 2 of FY25. On YTD basis, the revenue of Desi Biotech is 488 million as compared to 483 and EBITDA of 66 million as compared to 59 million. PAT of JCB is 19 million for 9 months as compared to 16 million. The revenue for Evox stood at 64 million with EBITDA of 13 million and PAT of 6 million in Q3 as compared to 49 million of sales and negative EBITDA of 8 million and a loss of 10 million. So Evox for 9 months revenue is 160 million as compared to 166 in FY24 for 9 months with EBITDA of 7 million negative as compared to 12 million negative and PAT of 29 million which is loss after tax for 9 months 29 million as compared to 26 million. SciTech revenue stood at 154 million, EBITDA of 30 million and PAT of 20 million in Q3 as compared to rupees 104 million of sales, EBITDA of 17 million and PAT of 4 million. So SciTech is SciTech has witnessed a revenue increase of about 27% in 9 months from 304 million to 386 million, EBITDA of 66 million as compared to 38 million, and PAT of 32 million as compared to 12 million. Sale of our largest product, which is anti-inflammatory enzyme, stood at 335 million for Q3 as compared to 315 in Q3 of FY24. For 9 months, the sale is 890 million as compared to 1031 million. This constitute about 19% of our total revenue as compared to 22% in FY24 for 9 months. Top 10 customers constitute about 26% during this quarter as compared to 25% in the last quarter. The B2C segment contributed about 1.23 million as compared to 1.37 million during the same period previous year. So total B2C sale for 9 months stood at 3.27 million as compared to 3.79 million. We do have the, you know, detailed breakup of our human healthcare segment, where we give the data point for the pharma business in India, the international business of human nutrition. So I'm giving those numbers for Q3. The pharma India business is about 460 million as compared to 419 million in quarter two. And for 9 months, 1,366 as compared to 1,650. The international business stood at 559 million as compared to 573 million in the previous quarter. And for YTD, 1,656 million as compared to 1,510 million. Our R&D spend for quarter three is about 81 million as compared to 75 million in the corresponding third quarter of FY24. So total expenditure on AET standalone basis for R&D is 242 million as compared to 202 million. On consolidated basis, R&D spend is about 5% in Q3 FY25 as compared to 5% in Q3 of FY24 last year. On consolidated basis, R&D spend is about 3% in Q3, and 3% was there in Q3 of last year. That was from my side. Now we shall be opening the floor for question answer. But before that, I would like to mention that post the invite of earning goal, we have received about 10-11 questions. And since Rasika is with us, so we will be happy to, you know, use this opportunity, and Rasika would like to address those questions. So I will ask the question on behalf of the investor community, and will request Rasika thereafter to answer those questions. Give me a moment. Yeah. So first question is, what do you see the company's vision for 3 years and 5 years in qualitative and quantitative terms? Not asking for guidance and outlook. Please, Rasika.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rasika. So you're asking about guidance and outlook for 3 years and 5 years. From the U.S. perspective, we expect to deepen our footprint in nutraceutical ingredient sales. Historically, we have always had a recognized brand in enzyme and probiotic sales in this industry, but recently we have seen significant brand expansion. There's a lot of progress here in recent years. Our customers are buying our ingredients, but rather than hiding their source, they're actively marketing that their consumer brand contains our ingredients. This creates a lot of value for us as a company. As they market our ingredients, we create stickiness with them. They now want to continue using our ingredient in their product. But their marketing also acts as a proxy for marketing for us, creating brand recognition in the market, and more importantly for us, follow-on sales as other companies copy the original brand. The point of this is to show that we are doing excellent in our brand recognition and expect this to grow and create inbound sales opportunities for us. We are also expanding our sales force to go out and capitalize on this brand recognition. In the next 5 years, we expect to focus on the major market sectors of gut health, protein powders, and pet supplements, where we see lots of opportunities for science-backed research products. This puts us at an advantage with our strong research team and helps create a moat around our products. Of course, there are several headwinds. There is significant market upheaval with the new political situation in the U.S. We do not yet know how tariffs and other major policy changes will change the landscape or the economy. Ultimately, there is uncertainty here, but there is a chance that we can be a big beneficiary here as well, if the rules shake out right.
Okay, Rasika, the next question is, how do you see the U.S. panning out? In the past few quarters, you have mentioned that growth will come from this market.
Well, as I mentioned, the political situation in the U.S. is that there will be a lot of change. What is unclear is who it will be good for and who it will be bad for. One thing that is very clear right now is that it does not look like it will benefit China economically. The longer this goes on, the more potential there may be to capture some markets that has gone to low-cost producers in China. Effectively, because we are fundamentally a player with a strong presence in India and the U.S., we are better positioned to take advantage of the rules as they stand right now. And so far, it looks like the current political position also looks favorably on our place in the health, nutrition, and wellness industry. But what is not clear is what impacts the new rules and regulations will have on the U.S. and global economy. The long and short story here is that there's uncertainty. We do not know who will win in terms of suppliers and finished products. So our approach is to stick to our core fundamentals of delivering excellent service to all players so we can grow with the winners.
Okay. The next question is, what challenges are you facing in the business since all other international players in the enzymes and probiotics space are doing very well?
Well, I think the competitive landscape in our industry is influenced by a variety of factors, with each company navigating its own unique challenges and opportunities. Growth is generally modest right now, with many companies experiencing single-digit growth rates, and in some, like ADM, even facing a decline, as evidenced by their 9% decrease in 2024. So, I'm not sure that I agree. Larger companies, they have the benefit of substantial resources, well-established brands, greater market penetration, and robust R&D capabilities. In contrast, companies like ours must invest considerable effort and strategy to break through and differentiate our products in a market dominated by these industry giants. But what I do think is going to happen is when we do, the payoff will be significantly greater.
Okay. What strategy or steps are you taking to strengthen your global sales team and increase your distributor network?
I mean, this is the continuous strategic process. It is not so simple as hiring more or signing more contracts. It requires evaluating several factors and criteria to ensure long-term success. Our product is very technical. In many of our industries, it is not so simple to simply slot in a new salesperson or a new distributor. It requires a significant learning curve to be able to sell well. And the quality of the salesperson or the distributor is just not enough. We must also evaluate the size of the network, a distributor's influence in the market, payment terms, financial stability, and the potential size for scale. But we recognize the value of this. It is an enormously important task And we have created a key goal of improving our sales using these avenues.
Okay, so next question is, can't you go aggressive on the sales front, compromising on certain margins?
Oh, a favorite question. The answer is that it's just a balancing act. An aggressive sales strategy, it can backfire. It can trigger a price war in the market, where companies continuously lower their prices to outdo competitors. While this might boost revenue in the short term by attracting customers looking for bargains, it can ultimately harm the company in the long run. Given the niche market of our product, we find that service and quality are driving factors in the sale. A price war could significantly damage the brand's reputation and devalue its position in the market. As we and our competitors would race to the bottom, customer loyalty would weaken, and the company may find itself struggling to recover both financially and strategically, undermining its long-term growth and stability. That said, we always evaluate the sale. We do make judicious choices to achieve the right kind of sale, always keeping investor value in mind.
Okay. Next question is, what is the status of weight management and sugar management products which you launched in USA a few quarters back?
We have received excellent initial feedback in our test marketing. But as you all know, launching a molecule from scratch takes significant time investment. It may be several years before we reap the full benefits. We are pursuing this opportunity actively because we see a good market for this product.
Okay. You always say that you are working on new molecules or launching new products every year, but you have never mentioned what those products are and how they are performing in the market or how big the market size is.
This is the balancing act. Enzymes and probiotics are a niche sector, but they are also highly competitive in our industry. Even though it is specialized, the competition is fierce. Companies are constantly monitoring each other's launches and innovation. This intense rivalry poses a significant risk for our investors if we were to speak about everything, because competitors may quickly replicate or modify our products to create something similar, diluting our investments in R&D.
So here I would also like to add something. As far as market size is concerned, I think in our earning calls and whatever like presentations which we provide on quarterly basis. So earning presentation, you can see we have one particular page or slide where we give the numbers, what is the kind of opportunity available. This is on slide number 27. Okay, so next question is, you mentioned that you are more in strategic acquisition that fit your operating segments, but it seems like your acquisition did not turn out as growth supportive.
Now, I just disagree with this. Strategic acquisitions are often more about enhancing a company's capabilities and protecting revenue than just driving immediate growth. One of our goals can be to expand revenue over time, but all of our acquisitions are driven by strategic value to the company in the form of new skills, technologies, intellectual property, backward integration, or market access. If you look at our historical acquisitions, they have always brought specialized expertise in some way. For example, Evox is a specialized in protein engineering and has a lot of intellectual property, which helps us to innovate new products. SciTech specializes in effervescent technology, which allows us to deliver an innovative delivery system in finished formulation.
Okay. Do you have a particular acquisition in mind, or are you thinking about this in a broader strategy sense?
acquisitions are always an ongoing continuous process for us. Each potential opportunity is carefully evaluated to assess strategic value. Our broader criteria may be a robust customer base, geographic presence, valuable patents, a unique product portfolio, manufacturing capabilities, so on. In recent times, however, we have noticed that companies are demanding inflated valuations that do not always reflect their true worth. But we remain committed to constantly evaluating new targets, ensuring that any decision made aligns with our long-term growth objectives and overall business strategy.
Okay, I think the last question from the communities, investor community side is, in what business segment are you looking to acquire?
We are looking for investments that secure our business both upstream, meaning ingredients, R&D, that kind of thing, and downstream, closer to the final customer. To date, we have acquired both types of companies. We remain open to these types of acquisitions for future growth.
Okay, thank you very much, Rasika. Now we open the floor for more question answers from Abhay.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Viraj from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just two questions. I think in the last quarter you talked about the sales difference. And if you adjust the amount which you gave, you know, in the opening comment, then we've seen a degrowth in sales. And this compares to the double-digit growth which we were expecting in the second half. So how do you kind of reconcile the two comments?
I'm sorry, your voice is not so clear. So, can you please repeat the question?
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yeah, you are audible, but I mean, the voice was not clear. Please repeat.
So, the question is, you know, if you see in last quarter, we had talked about there being a sales difference from Q2 to Q3. And if you adjust the amount which you gave in your opening comment, then the sales in Q3 has actually degrown, adjusting for that. And this compares to the double-digit growth which we are, you know, guiding for in the second half. So how do you kind of reconcile the two?
No, I think as far as guiding two-digit growth, we already mentioned that we will be having only single-digit growth. Let me clarify first. And then as far as the impact of, you know, the derecognition of revenue, I think Mukund has already explained that what in this quarter, instead of 169 crore, if we reduce that impact, it would have been 161 crore for this quarter, and last quarter where it was 146 crore, it would have been 154 crore. So you have some 5% of growth in that sense, but overall for 9 months, we have only 1% of growth. But I think that we already mentioned in the Q2 call.
And if you take, even if you take into this account of this 8 crore, this is the highest quarter which we have on a sale front. So there is no question of degrowth, basically.
Just two questions. So going, say, into Q4 and then FY26, how should one look at the growth profile for our business, given the kind of indications you're hearing from key markets and key customers?
So we are in the process of budgeting right now for the next year, and we'll come out with the scenario at the end of the fourth quarter results. And this year we already clarified that we'll have just small single digit growth. So and for the next year we'll come back into the next quarter.
Last question was, sir, you know, if you look at Serratiopeptidase space, can you give some, what we're hearing is that there's been some impact you know, from one of competitors. So can you give some perspective, you know, how do you see the competitor landscape and our play in that?
So as you, as we all know, like, we were the leading player, we still is the leading player, but when you are the leading player, it's always difficult to hold more than 90% of the market share. There will be some market share here and there which will happen, but as of now, still we are the leading player. So I won't go into the more details about who is the player and what about the player and what is the impact, but I can always say that we are still the leading player into this segment.
No, what I really meant is, do we see any material changes in competition intensity or us benefiting from that?
See, time will tell you. Like, right now, it's very early stages, right? So we'll wait and see how the things work, how the things pan out.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Bhavya Nahar from Tamohara Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I wanted to understand who will be heading the new facility in Nashik, given the departure of Dr. Anil Gupta, who I understand looked after the R&D function. And what is our product calendar looking like? Like, are we focusing on repurposing our existing library of enzymes for new use cases, or are we adding like more products there?
So Dr. Gupta left long back. It's already like 3.5 years. And there are always the players who are there. The R&D is in a good hand. There are many capable people who are handling those. In terms of like Nasik R&D, when we talk about Nasik R&D, it will be 3 times bigger than what we have in the first stage at present. That is our goal to begin with. There are few recruits we already did, and we are in a process to recruit further. In terms of addition of products, we already mentioned during our last few calls that every year we add at least 5 to 6 molecules, and we will continue to add, and we will increase this space as we move on.
Okay. Sir, and regarding the vision of the company, and as Rasika mentioned that the vision is to deepen footprint in nutraceutical, gut health, protein powder and pet supplement. So anything else? Because sir, generally, like, I mean, our aspirations are always on the right track, but something happens and we end up with like anemic growth. So for the next 5 to 7 years, exactly what's the growth plan?
So Rasika was talking more about like US and US business, okay, how it is spanning it out. As you know, and as we were talking about overall, we have like over 3 different segments, and we have already explained which are going to be the different growth areas into the different areas.
Okay. And sir, last question. Sir, any plans to utilize the cash, like 600 crores that we have on our books, or any plans to, also any plans to bring the cash parked in the US back to India?
So as far as, you know, getting money back from US is concerned, you know, we are getting a good return from that fund, whatever we have invested in USA. And yeah, apart from that utilization, yes, at appropriate time, you know, whenever there are like, you know, ways to utilize, like, you know, we have been giving incremental dividend to our investors, and apart from that, if there will be an opportunity of acquisition, which as we have mentioned earlier, this fits to our, you know, strategic planning, then that money will be utilized. So it is like, you know, utilized in a way which is giving us a return. Of course, in a way, like, you know, if you look at the return from business point of view, it is lower. I understand that. Apart from that, I think it's in safe hand and we are getting a good return. And US, again, you are getting some 3-4% every year that, you know, rupee depreciation benefit as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhishek Navalgun from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. The first question is again on the US piece. So you mentioned that the focus is to deepen the presence in the nutraceuticals. Some of the customers are also labeling and mentioning your name and stuff, and also the focus areas were discussed. What we understand is clearly US has been the key market for us since a very long period of time, but like the earlier participant also mentioned, somehow the growth has been flattish. We're stuck at around 180 to 200 crore annual number. So if you are actually seeing traction from the customers and, you know, higher visibility, what stops us for giving a guidance from next 1 or 2 years perspective, at least a range that would actually help? Or so that's the first question.
So regarding giving the guidance, definitely, you know, as we have been talking time and again that, you know, we always aspire to give, you know, at least 2 digit of growth. But, you know, sometimes what happens when you revisit your numbers, because last year we have seen the kind of, some kind of, you know, the growth is not there. So in a way we call it a degrowth. So we have to revisit our numbers, and that's the reason Mukund was saying that let me, you know, take some more time to churn out all the numbers, look at, you know, every customer, every product, and see that, you know, where we can reach in the next year. So that's the reason, you know, the guidance was probably, you know, Mukund was of the opinion that we should not give the guidance in this particular quarter. Give us some more time, so we'll come out with that, you know, better guidance. This will help you and everyone in the process.
Sure, but you are in a way saying that there are signs of recovery, right? So you are indirectly saying that FY26 is not going to be like 25 as far as the US market is concerned?
Yeah, so Vixar is going to address.
Abhishek, Rashika was telling you before or so, is that we see a very broad, see, market is completely changing last 2-3 years. What is happening is it is more, this nutraceutical market is more of a research-driven products which are well-proven technically and has a data supporting it. And most of the companies now are preferring to put our labels or our names, proprietary names, registered trademark names on their products. Major brands are coming with it. Now, their growth depends on how this product grows, also impact us of how our growth is going to happen. But it will be broader range growth, more stable growth. Second thing which is happening, which we, nobody can imagine right now, is what is going to be the impact of various different countries, even in North America. For example, Canada and Mexico are going to be impacted with the straight duty or no duty, or how is it going to work, because these markets are also very equally come into our sphere in US markets. Okay, so there are a lot of areas which are going to impact, and that's why we are looking at wait and see attitude for next 2-3 months before we can come up with our numbers or give some kind of guidance. Overall, we see a very positive trend as far as our product penetration is concerned, new products development is concerned, various different research papers and products which we are coming up with. So, yes, we are looking at growth. Numbers will tell a little bit later.
So, the next question is, have we added any new customers, let's say, in the last 3 to 6 months, and any in any particular region, per se?
Actually, yes. We are added a few new customers in last 6 months, and they are global also. The company, this market is becoming a global market. It is not a regional market anymore. There is an enormous impact of how these global companies are coming up with, and they have a muscle power of advertisements and investments. So lot of merger acquisitions are happening in this industry also.
Okay, and in the Asia segment, excluding India, are there any market share gain story, or this is, I mean, we should not read too much into it as far as this quarter number is concerned?
I would say that we shouldn't read too much at this point of time, because we cannot like really comment on quarter basis. As we move on, we'll have more clarity. We should look more on a 9 months number or a longer number.
So, and last question, on the cash on the balance sheet, are you reconsidering the dividend payout policy or something, or that is going to be the same?
The dividend policy is, listen, for last 2 years we are declaring special dividends, right? So our board of directors always consider those issues from time to time and take appropriate decisions. Very much committed to our investors and making sure that their investment is taken care of.
Sure. Sorry, I missed one more. So the Nashik R&D is on track to commission by end of first half, or the timeline is different?
I think we were talking about end of this year, 25.
Not the financial year, but this year. No.
End of, so CY, by end of CY 25 you're saying, right?
Yes.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Niharika from Campro Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead. Yes. You're audible.
Good evening, sir. Yeah. So, in last con call, you had mentioned that biocatalyst molecules commercialization is taking some time. So, wanted to know where are we on that and what could be the possible impact on top line? And also, do we have any new molecules in the pipeline, or have we filed patents on any of the new molecules?
As we were saying, like, this is going to be one of the growth area, and probably like the growth we will see in the coming financial year. You are talking about the molecules. We always work on the lot of different molecules. We do add one or two molecules each quarter, roughly at this time. That is the pace at which we are going on. Some molecules we may see the commercialization coming into the next year.
Okay, and my next question is about the probiotics market. So in the investor presentation, we can see that the market size is around $70 billion. Do we have any plans in place to tap this market? Say, for example, even if we have 0.1% of this market, that would be an increase of 500-600 crores in top line. So wanted to understand more about this market.
Niharika, you are very correct. So probiotic market is fastly expanding, and we are very much looking into key probiotics which are already, we have several papers published on various different probiotics right now. Lot of patents has been filed also on the complete enzymes and probiotics together, and we are expecting some of the products to be approved by the various different regulatory agencies in various different markets.
Understood. So any possible impact on top line, and by when can we see the impact of probiotics on top line?
It is going to be an integrated part of it, some of it. We are not separating that as a separate category per se, but we are integrating it in the enzymes and probiotics, because all our markets are, it's not about one or second product or one product by itself, but in US market we have an integrated market of enzymes and probiotics.
Understood, understood. So one more question. So any specific reason why we had mentioned in the last con call that there will be no growth in India sales in FY25? I mean, is it an industry trend or something specific for Advanced Enzymes?
So, Niharika, depending on like looking at all the numbers, what we saw last year and when we were like revisiting all the projections, we realized that probably this year there will not be any growth. We did add some customers, but at the same time, we did lose some of the market share, particularly into the anti-inflammatory area and some of the other areas. And that is where this recalculation of all the numbers came in.
Okay, understood. And one last question. So we see that the asset turn is hovering around less than one. So wanted to understand about capacity utilization levels, like what is the current level and when do we expect asset turn to move above one?
We do have still like a lot of capacity. Our utilization is almost like 55-60% still. We are at the same level. We'll wait and see when we need to expand. As we were saying earlier as well, whenever we reach to 80% of the capacity levels, we'll go for the expansion. The capacity is a very funny area. Sometimes you are at 55-60% and then something good happens in the R&D. And that again like reduces your, that also increases your capacity. So we are in a space where 1 plus 1 is not 2 but 11, and that is where this capacity utilization is always an interesting phenomenon.
Okay, understood. That's it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nitesh Rege from Chris Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, my question is to Rishika. So, you know, how does the management plan to solve for the growth issue? You know, are we looking to add more people on the sales side? Because we've done good on the R&D side. So, is it more of a sales issue? Just trying to understand, you know, at our size, why can't we grow faster?
Yes, we're always looking to add on the sales side. That is the quickest way to move us forward. And as I mentioned, it is a very key task that we are approaching very aggressively.
So, you know, because of the M&A activity which has happened in our industry, Novo, Hansen, DSM, Ferments, there'll be a lot of talent available. So do we have any plans to hire them as consultants on our sales side, you know, to expand, to grow our USA, Europe business? And incentivize them on sales, you know, which will also mitigate increase in fixed costs for us.
Absolutely, we do. It's a very good opportunity right now to pick up good salespeople.
And Nitish, we are already like contacting few of the people.
Okay.
We are in the process of adding lots more. Yeah, to answer your question, Nitin, you are correct. We are looking into expanding the sales force quite a bit.
Okay. And on the point of, you know, the point of, you know, entry into new market segments, so do you map yourself against like global peers like Novo, DSM? What are the gaps, you know, in our product portfolio where we are not present currently compared to them? And have you identified any such products which we plan to launch in the coming years?
There are always few products which we do launch. We always look for our niche opportunities as well. And these are the strategies, the area where we can take on, we always go and take on. This year also, like we are adding a couple of industrial area where we can take on Novozymes or other people. We are working on the trials. We got few initial successes. We'll wait for the final outcomes.
Okay. And just on in the competition, so you know, today we are facing a lot of competition in Sera, and future there will be another product where we'll face competition. So, you know, do we have any targets of, let's say, 5-7% of our top line should come from new product, new initiatives, anything in that line?
We are not like really focusing growth on the sera, and we were talking from last few quarters that the pharma segment we will have just a few growth. The main growth pillars which is going to come is from the biocatalyst from the pharma area, and somewhat is from human nutrition, also like from the food areas and from the animal feed areas.
So, and just on this new product, so how large can these new products be for us?
They will be on the all fronts, like what Mukund has just mentioned, and that's where you can see a somewhat positive trend right now. You know, the percentage of our sales are increasing into bioprocessing, animal feed, food processing, and healthcare area, which is right now we already discussed quite a bit upon. So those are the way it will, the company will grow in this.
Okay. And on our geographical growth, so just wanted to understand why is the growth rate, especially in USA, has been so volatile. So if you look at 1H, we've grown around 24% year on year, and then Q3, we've seen a decline of around 10%. So any, you know, first of all, the any thoughts on why the volatility, and then secondly, any way we can reduce this?
The two answers, Nitish. Keep in mind that our company is not from quarter to quarter, should not be judged on a quarter to quarter basis, which we are telling for last so many years to everybody who can listen. Second part, which you mentioned, Mr. Aukaji already explained that 80 million rupees were not counted in the third quarter, which is counted in this quarter. So you see that it was like 154 CR sale was in last quarter instead of 146 CR, if I'm correct on these numbers.
Yes.
And this quarter is not 170 plus something, but it is 164 something. You know?
61.
So there are these numbers. See the, how it balances, because sometimes with the regulatory, whatever the regulations are, you have to readjust according to whatever the rules and regulations are.
Understood. Just one suggestion from my side, you know, if the family could be there on all calls and meet investors, that would be really helpful for us. And yeah, thank you for being on call this time, and we look forward to interacting with the family going ahead.
No, absolutely. There is, as much as possible, we are always open and ready to discuss crystal clearly. But everybody is here at this time, and they are joining all of us.
Absolutely. We look forward to coming more.
Nitish, do you have any follow-up question?
No, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from line of Ravi Purohit from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Most of my questions have been answered. Just specifically on this, you know, direct the segment-wise numbers that we put out in our presentation, there has been significant growth in, let's say, you know, industrial bioprocessing and specialized manufacturing. Can you, you know, can just throw some additional light on what these segments are? Are these growth rates sustainable? Are there any one-offs here, or do you envisage significant? And particularly on industrial bioprocessing side, there has been a lot of discussions about industrial bioprocessing enzymes. Especially your global peers have been discussing that a lot, being a very, very large opportunity. And I think we've also been doing a lot of work in this space for the last many years. So is there anything that, you know, that one should kind of you know, look forward to over the next few years?
The way we see it is, like, at least I can talk about next 1 or 2 years. Short-term, long-term, we are always working, but the short-term scenario, what I can see, is on the specialty business, we are doing good. We'll be doing good this year as well as next year. On the bioprocessing side, this year in the food we will have just like a somewhat more growth, not like a significant one, but going forward it should be a good growth. And overall, if we talk about the bioprocessing industrial area, we will have a better growth.
So what areas do we address in the industrial side, in the non-food side? What industries do we cater to? And similarly, in specialized manufacturing, what industries do we cater to? What, I mean, if you could quote some examples, it will be easier for us to appreciate and understand the kind of work that we are doing. And just specialized manufacturing or specialty products, actually, you know, we are not able to kind of, you know, understand, you know, correlate it to anything.
No, I appreciate. So as far as bioprocess non-food is concerned, here we have like our enzymes for the detergent industries, textile, pulp, paper and leather industry. So detergent is negligible as of now, but yes, textile, leather, we are doing good in the bioprocessing, non-food segment. And specialized manufacturing is something like, you know, we can also call it as a contract manufacturing, where we do a lot of, you know, contract manufacturing activities on P2P basis in one of our subsidiary companies, which is Cytec Specialties Manufacturing. Mm-hmm. So there we do it for human nutrition, animal nutrition, and you know, nutraceutical segment. So that business is growing rapidly. That's what we could see this year.
Okay. And sir, you know, there has been one of our competitor who has been asked to close down their plant, Krebs Biochem, which I think is also a competitor to us for Serratiopeptidase. Is this something kind of, you know, that helps us, or how is the competitive dynamic in the industry? Are you the only two players, or is there anybody else in the industry which has been? I believe in the last few calls we've mentioned that that particular segment for us has been under pressure in India.
Yes, see, there will be few small manufacturers here and there. Krebs is one of the significant players, even if not directly, indirectly. We will see, time will tell, but that if that happens, then it will be a positive development on our sales.
Okay. And you know, one question for you know, Mr. Rathi or, you know, Rasika, if one of you all could kind of, you know, give a sense of you know, for us, when we look at the presentation, you know, that has been put out every quarter, there are segments which we are highlighting addressable market for us, right? Given our size and the addressable market for the company, right? So there is a big gap between the two, which effectively means there is significant headroom for growth for us, right? But whereas if you look at our performance over the last few years, given our size, we are relatively very, very small, and the growth mostly has come from M&A. So is there any impediment that you have faced in the last few years which has not allowed us to grow organically? Or if you could just share, you know, your challenges or and things that we are trying to address to get, you know, organic growth, given the absolute scope is so large and our size is relatively much, much smaller.
Yeah, Ravi, let me... Pradeep, right?
Ravi Burad, yeah.
Ravi, there are a lot of changes happening in the market and in this industry, in US or North America per se. Regulatories are very strong right now, and lot of acquisitions, merger and acquisitions are happening. Lot of small players or niche players has been acquired by the big companies. You know that becomes very challenging to continue sometimes with those. Also, the industry is now more technical, as I mentioned before. More data is required. And then that not only data is required, but it requires published data to back up the claims. Okay, so there are a lot of these changes are happening in the industry, which we are rapidly addressing. That's why I said at the beginning that we are now continuously publishing the papers, doing the research studies, and validating all those data and claims which companies are required for the marketing. Does that make sense to you?
Sure, sure, sir. And just one more question, right? So we have launched a lot of B2C products in the Indian market, right? I think we've mentioned in the past that we have certain products in probiotic area in the US, but we've also launched, I think, Delphi, if I'm not wrong, in the domestic market, right? Now, we have traditionally been a B2B company. We are not traditionally a B2C company, especially in India. So would it make sense for us to tie up with, you know, large pharmaceutical company in India, you know, who can actually help us distribute these products better than having to us to kind of, you know, spend all that money? An example would be someone like Orchid Pharma, right, which has kind of got a certain product developed through NC, and now they've tied up with Cipla to basically distribute that product because they are traditionally been a B2B company. So we've also been traditionally a B2B company. So B2C is not really our strength in that sense. So in that sense, we have good products, but you need somebody who's actually done it for 20 years, 30 years in the domestic market to be able to kind of, you know, give you scale. I don't know. Is there something that makes sense for us to do, or does it not make sense? If you could just share your thoughts and insights on that.
Ravi, I appreciate your suggestions and ideas. You are absolutely correct. We are a B2B company. B2C is a very different market segment by itself. We have a limited goal and objectives, but yes, when we go to the B2C, which we are putting some, it will be always a distribution we have to find with the major companies who has a good network of distribution and sales. So yes, we are working on all of these different angles.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. And same feedback as the other participants. We really appreciate if both you and Rasika can be on all the calls. Just four times in a year, not too much, from shareholders' point of view. And it kind of gives us a lot of confidence and a lot of, help to kind of, hear your thoughts, right? So would really appreciate if both of you all could be there in all the calls, please.
No, Ravi, thank you. These interactions really help management in so many different ways. And even sometimes we are not there on the call, every single thought of yours and everybody is always debated, considered, and we try to, execute the issues in the way and manner which makes sense to all management and the investors alike. So we appreciate your thoughts on that, and we will, as Rasika said, try to be more interactive as much as possible.
Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Saraf for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for taking your valuable time for attending our earnings conference call. We will keep you all posted for any further updates. I request you all to kindly send in your questions or queries that you may have or remain unanswered. An audio recording and the transcript of this call will be uploaded on our website in due course. Looking forward to host you all in the next quarter. Till then, stay healthy, stay safe.
Thank you everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.